May it please the court.
Defense.
I'm James Burt. I represent a defendant in a case. I will not take my time. I will not use my time. Abraham Lincoln is one of my heroes. And he apologized one time for writing a 5-page letter. He didn't have time to write a shorter one. What we have here is a statute in the state of Missouri that puts people in prison, either a felony or a misdemeanor. We're here on a misdemeanor. Makes them prove their innocence. Shifts the burden. 568040. It's a criminal non-support statute. No one's looked at this since 1988. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 1988, blatantly unconstitutional, California statute.
Now, that was a contempt case, wasn't it, where you have to prove
yes.
prove intent, prove ability to obey in order to find someone in contempt. Is that true today? Is that true where contempt is not the issue but simply non-support?
Well, we have to be careful in that case because they had to parse between civil and criminal contempt. Criminal contempt is what the court decided the statute was. So, yes, you must have the mental.
But I mean, is there more, and there may well be, but is there more authority for contempt? You have to have the ability to do something and choose not to do it. That's what's contemptuous. Is the same true for the obligation to pay child support, and it cannot be held criminal unless you have the ability to pay?
Correct. It's even more so on the criminal side, because on the civil side, they give you the keys. You can get out of prison any time that you pay. Not on the criminal side. Our statute says criminal non-support. It has nothing to do with giving you the keys. It's a determinate term. And I think we're on a Class C misdemeanor in this case because he's only missed 3 payments of charge.
So you would say the new statute is bad, too, where they've taken the language out of the statement of the elements that lack of good cause?
Makes it worse because it still shifts the burden to the defendant. We're not talking about here some trivial right. We're talking about the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That's what the United States Supreme Court decided this on.
Doesn't the legislature have the ability to set what the elements of the charge are and then and decide what might also be an affirmative defense to the case? How is this any different than a self-defense affirmative defense?
To an extent, but they can't go beyond the 14th Amendment.
Well, I understand, but if the legislature can set out the elements of a crime, why can't they just leave out the element that you have to be able to pay? In other words, assume that there's an important state interest in fathers or mothers supporting their children, and that the failure to do so over a course of time constitutes a crime. But just like self-defense might authorize force, if you can demonstrate that you have the inability to pay, then that's an affirmative defense.
The legislature, the General Assembly, can do nothing that treads upon the Constitution of the United States. Every element of a crime has to be proved beyond reasonable doubt. An element of the crime of non-support means you have the ability, but you can't pay.
Where does the statute say that you have to have the ability to pay? Where does that come from? Because it looks like to me they removed that as an element, and in lieu of it, substituted as an affirmative defense.
We have outlawed debtor's prison in our state. Article 1, Section 11, Missouri Constitution. You're putting somebody in prison for a debt without any the state has to prove nothing about their ability to pay.
Hasn't child support always been an exception? Cases do allow someone who fails to pay child support to be sent to jail until they pay.
Exception to Article 1, Section 11. I grant you that.
It's not an exception to that. It's not an exception to that constitutional provision. It requires that there, the case law requires that you have either an ability to pay or you have intentionally placed yourself in a position not to pay. So that that's
I'm
why
gonna
it's
agree
not
with
at
that.
All.
Well, I've read that. I mean, until Tom Strong used to say, you can read the statute until you're blind. They've said it's not really a debt, child support. So they've said, our courts have said that. So I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, which has clearly been decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm going to call the case Hicks because I don't know how to pronounce the other name. And it's a 1988 case. Now, how did I get involved in this? Well, I was loitering in the courtroom one day. I just opened an office in Ozark. I'd practiced law with Tom Strong. We've sued the state of, the tobacco companies. We'd done a lot of that. So I just opened. Tom retired. I was sitting in Judge Waters' court. And this guy says, Mr. Holmes says, I don't want a public defender. And Judge Waters looks back and says, Mr. Burke doesn't look like he has anything to do. So I took it pro bono. And I looked at the statute. And a very wise man, I think his nickname is Chip, once told me, before thinking great thoughts, read the statute. So I read the statute. And it shifts the burden impermissibly. So I said, boy, this isn't just me in Ozark, Missouri. So I did a little research on it. U.S. Supreme Court's already decided this issue. This very issue. And my argument's over.
Can you tell us why we need to reach that issue in this case? Because there was some evidence that your client had ability to pay. There was evidence that your client was employed and that your client had rental property and that your client had said, I'm choosing not to pay because I'm not going to pay something they're trying to make me pay.
Well, of course, the client didn't testify, but the rental property, she said, the wife said, there's some rental property. She didn't say they made any money on it. As a matter of fact, they didn't. Lost money on it. He didn't have a job at the time. He was in the business.
What about his statement that was that an admission that he said he just wasn't going to pay what they couldn't make him pay?
I think that probably is an admission. But nowhere close to the $428. The $175 is what the child
support. This isn't about the child support order. This is about paying whatever is necessary to support the child.
And I argued that below. And the child was being well taken care of by both parents. The child lived 50-50. The child had clothes. The child had an education. I know what the statute means. The judge didn't agree with me on that. That the child, it's criminal non-support is if you're not supporting your child. He was supporting his child. He just didn't like this ex parte proceeding that got him to pay $428 a month. Turns out, by the time trial rolled around, he was out of a job. He was in the construction business. He had no money. He was making $8,000. No evidence came in of his tax returns, his bank accounts, nothing.
Is there a mechanism to move to modify the child support amount if it's inappropriate as opposed to not paying?
Yes. There is a method. But it doesn't get rid of arrearages. Mm-hmm. It's just forward. Any more questions?
Thank you very much. You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the Court. The 2009 amendment to the criminal non-support statute effectively intended to remove without good cause as an element, and this was clarified in the 2012 amendment. Under any reading of the statute, 2009 and prior, it still remained on the defendant to inject the issue by putting forth some evidence. That didn't happen in this case.
Is that now, constitutional to remove it as an element and to place the burden on the respondent? Isn't that the question?
Well, we believe it is constitutional, and even if the court doesn't want to get that far, we would stipulate that, assuming that without good cause was an element under the statute that he was charged, the state proved that We put forth evidence that he supported this child during the marriage, that he worked during the marriage, contrary to what the appellant has argued.
It isn't whether he worked during the marriage. It's whether he worked at during the relevant time period, isn't it?
Correct. And we did put forth evidence through the testimony of the mother that he had made statements to her that he was not going to, he did not want the state involved. He would fight this as much as possible. He also did have rental property, and contrary to the appellant's argument, he did state to the mother that this rental property was being rented and he was collecting rent.
No dollar figures came out, though, and no question was asked of the wife how much rent was being paid or if there was sufficient to cover the needs of the child.
That's correct. No
dollar figures. Or even if the amount of the rent netted any profit, if the expenses of the rental property exceeded or were equal to the amount of the rent paid.
There was no testimony to that.
Do you agree that Section 568.040 is a criminal statute?
Yes.
Do defendants have the right to be free from testimony when they're charged with a crime?
Yes.
So aren't you requiring the defendant to testify here to inject evidence of good cause? Isn't the statute require his testimony?
No, I believe that can be accomplished also through certain cross-examination of the state's witnesses, potentially. But in any effect, that wouldn't necessarily invalidate the statute, because in self-defense cases and murder, the defendant is still required to produce some evidence. That's consistently been upheld. I would also want to point out that there was evidence by the witness mother, who stated that no support, material or otherwise, so it wasn't entirely about whether he had money that he could pay. She stated that he never provided any health insurance.
But doesn't the record show that the child was with him, I think, 3 days a week and the wife 4 days a week, and he provided food and clothing and a place to sleep, which is all that's required under the criminal non-support statute? Dollars are not mentioned in the statute. Why was that not adequate?
Well, the case law in this state has always been that simply because a child spends some portion of the time with the other parent, doesn't negate his requirement to provide the items for support for the time that he is not present with that.
Did the wife also have that obligation to provide support when the child was with the father?
Yes, she did. And I would stipulate that she did so by making sure the child was fully clothed with clothing that she purchased when he went to see his father.
And did the record show the opposite didn't occur too? It's really a very sparse record.
It is an incredibly sparse record, and I apologize to the court for that. But I think what the record showed, essentially, was that during the time that the child was with the mother, the father did not assist in paying any of her rent. He did not assist in paying any food or providing clothing. The fact that he provided a residence for himself in which the child was able to come over and spend the night does not necessarily comply with the statute. Mother testified that the resident itself was insufficient in that I believe it was only one bedroom. The child didn't have a separate bedroom and was required.
Is that required for adequate support?
There is some question as to whether it would be adequate for a child to stay.
There might be a lot of children who would be found without adequate support in this state if that were the case.
Agreed. We believe the state's made the evidentiary showing sufficient, though, for the trier of fact to find beyond reasonable doubt that he failed to do that. And with that said, there was no violation of due process because the burden never actually shifted. So,
can you repeat again what was the evidence that you say was sufficient to meet the burden if the burden was on the state to show lack of good cause?
Sure. If the burden was on the state was able to show that he had rental property both with the wife and with his sister, so he certainly had some material means. He could have sold the rental property. He could have had it bought out from him, whatever the case may be. The gentleman was a self-employed tile layer that worked in that field during the marriage. There's nothing to indicate that he was not able to do that job. And ability to work has been held by this court to be evidence that a reasonable trier of fact could find that he had the ability. He also made statements to the mother that he did not want the state involved, that he was going to fight this every step of the way, that he would only pay what he could, when he could, but at the same time agreeing to pay half of the child's expenses. The evidence that he provided absolutely no material support, financial or otherwise, to the other parent immediately following separation, whereas during the marriage, there was no question that he was doing so, is evidence that he was doing this without good cause, assuming that's still an element of the crime, which the state would argue was removed from the 2009 amendment.
And again, is it a constitutional statute if good cause is removed from the elements of the crime?
Yes, we believe it is.
And you don't believe that it violates the constitutional provision in Article 1, Section 11?
No, we do not.
Why not?
We believe that requiring him to go forward with the affirmative defense is initially tantamount to a burden of production. It does switch to the burden of persuasion because it is an affirmative defense.
I agree with you. That's what the legislature has done. The question is, does the Constitution permit them to do that?
We do, because I believe the legislature has the ability to craft their elements of the statute and assign defenses.
Well, but the statute can't change the Constitution. Can you address the Constitution? Whether it's constitutional violation of due process, imprisonment for debt, a variety of arguments have been raised. Can you address those more specifically?
Or whether your opponent has preserved that particular constitutional provision, and is that an issue in this case?
Well, I think there's two separate questions there. I'll answer your question first. When it comes to an affirmative defense, that's an actual bar to being charged with a crime or being found guilty. It's an independent bar to the crime. And in this case, it doesn't negate any of the elements. And in fact, it wouldn't negate the element of without good cause. The state would still have to go forward with that. At some point, the state has to make a showing.
What? Why? And if it's an affirmative defense, why does the state have to make a showing?
Under the 2009 statute, it was arguable. And really, that's the focus of this case. Now, later on, when it was amended in 2012, they did remove it.
Yeah, so, but there's no dispute that the time this gentleman was charged, good cause was an element of your defense.
It's debatable. We believed that it was, and that's why we went forward with the element. We did not rely on any presumptions, simply because there are no presumptions in the statute. To go back to your question, if you could repeat it, please.
The question I had is, in talking about whether there is a prohibition in the Missouri Constitution to a statute that wouldn't require good cause, was that preserved and raised by your opponent, or did he rely simply on the federal Constitution?
Well, I think he's relying on the federal Constitution, but also I would argue that whether it was preserved or raised is questionable. The case law requires him to raise that as early as possible. He did not raise that until the end of the state's case.
My question is, does he raise a violation of the Missouri Constitution at all at any time?
No, I did not see that in any of his pleadings. I did not see that.
Didn't he raise it during the course of the hearing when he said, well, then if you don't have to prove more good cause, or if I'm going to have to prove lack of that I had good cause, then that's a constitutional violation? Wasn't that during the in the transcript during the course of the hearing, or am I remembering incorrectly?
I do not know the answer to that. My recollection is that he was relying on the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution with the case of Hicks versus Fiat.
And can you discuss Hicks, please?
In the case of Hicks v. Fiat, it was a civil contempt statute. That California statute was incredibly specific when it stated that for somebody to be held in contempt, all that was required to be shown was that they knew about the order and that they were not complying with the order. That's not been the case law in Missouri. Knowledge of an order itself is not required for a non-support conviction. It does not. There is no specific presumption that compels the finder of fact in the state of Missouri criminal non-support statute to find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. The state still has to present the evidence. Can't simply rely on the defendant's knowledge.
Doesn't the state still have to prove under any version of the statute that the violation was willful, and does that incorporate some aspect of ability to pay?
I think the state does have to show that there was some willfulness on the part, but that can go towards purposely maintaining an inability. That type of evidence, cited in the brief State v. Coe, can be done through negative inferences, which we showed in our case through statements made to the petitioner, as well as his not working. I have nothing further for the court unless the court has any questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Can I reserve any time?
Yes, you have time, sir.
I'm not a criminal lawyer. Never have been, never professed to be. I got appointed to this case, took this case, read the statute, and I said, this is blatantly unconstitutional. Why somebody hadn't looked at that since 1988? U.S. Supreme Court did. That was a criminal contempt statute, if you read the case, the Hicks case. It wasn't a civil contempt. This is that case, all fours. We have the same statute. All fours on point. Thank you very much.
Thank you for efficient use of your time. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. And the case will be taken under submission.